From truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pain. Their bodies are sound and sleek. They are not in troubles as others are. They are not plagued like other people. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes swell out with fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues range over the earth. Therefore, the people turn and praise them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Such are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain, I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long, I have been plagued and punished every morning. If I had said, I will talk on in this way, I would have been untrue to the circle of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. On awaking, you despise their phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when was I pricked in heart? I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a brute beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I deserve other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to those who are false to you, but for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge to tell all of your works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for reading that novel that we put down there, but it's important sometimes to hear the whole thing. Our second scripture reading is from Romans 8. If you want to know what Paul's mature thought is, Romans is it, especially Romans 8. And he says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather, who was raised, and who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God. I'd like to tell you a little story since it's the baseball playoffs, you know. My husband is the one who preaches on baseball all the time. But on May 2nd, 1939, one of the greatest and toughest records in baseball came to an end. Lou Gehrig, one of the greatest to ever play the game, told his manager, I'm benching myself, Joe, for the good of the game. Now, Garrick had not been himself lately and unable to play up to his usual high standards. Still, manager McCarthy was shocked because Garrick had not missed a game in 14 years, and he had played 2,130 consecutive games. That record wouldn't be broken until Cal Ripken of the Orioles did it not too long ago. Now, the Detroit crowd was stunned by the announcement that their hero would not be playing. In June, Lou Gehrig and his wife went to see Dr. Charles Mayo, of later Mayo Clinic fame. And the diagnosis was ALS. And so in 1941, Lou Gehrig died from a terrible wasting disease when he should have been in the prime of his life. And many people in life thought, that's so unfair. Have you ever felt that life was unfair? That you or someone you love had been dealt an extremely bad hand to play? Maybe you feel that life is unfair because you played by the rules. You lived virtuously, but now you are faced with circumstances that you cannot handle. You thought that you had more time or another opportunity to do something. What do you do when life is unfair? This question has plagued humanity since the beginning of time. How can God be good and merciful and yet allow evil to flourish at times and at places? If God is omnipotent, does that make God the author of good and also of evil? Why does God allow people to fall victim to violence or to famine or to greed? In theological circles, this is called the problem of theodicy. Have you ever wondered about these things? Have you ever prayed to God for answers but have gotten only silence? Have you fervently asked God to act, but then nothing changes? If you have ever felt or done any of these things, you can hear echoes of it in Psalm 73 that Kathy just read for us. The psalmist reminds God that he has played by the rules. He's been a good person. He says, "Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments." And yet, despite his virtue, he is suffering. And he is disappointed, even angry with God about it. He is upset because the wicked seem to be doing whatever they like with no consequences. He says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. The psalmist feels forgotten and neglected by God. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe today you are carrying a heavy burden and can identify with the psalmist's grief and anger. If so, pay attention, because the psalmist does something very important. At the beginning of the psalm, it's all about me, 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 me. How am I faring compared to others? How heavy my burdens are, and how far away God seems to feel. But then the psalmist takes a little right turn and realizes that all his complaining is not helping at all. He realizes that he is locked inside himself in a circle of grief and envy and pain. And the minute he goes to the sanctuary of God and turns to God, then things start to change. The psalmist admits, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." But once he uncurls from his circle of pain and opens up to God, God has entered in, and understanding and relief was received. Now, with God's understanding, he can see that God is not unmindful of the wicked. The wicked are on slippery ground and headed for God's judgment, and they will have no one to intervene for them. The psalmist realizes that when calamity comes, when death stalks the house, God will be with him and those he loves. That is one of the blessings that Easter tells us about. The world can do its worst, and although suffering and death are real, they are not the last word. Or as St. Paul wrote from prison, "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed to us." The wicked have turned away from God, and they have closed themselves to God's mercy and help. So the first thing to do when life is unfair is to go directly to God. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, as the old Monopoly game says. Go ahead and tell God what you feel and what you think, even if it's at a really loud volume. It's not like God doesn't know how you feel anyhow. David did that, and he was called a man after God's heart. Or as the old hymn says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." It was another June when another man was feeling crushed by circumstance. A lot earlier than Lou Gehrig's June. It was June 6, 1882, and the Reverend George Matheson was a broken man. He was one of Scotland's greatest preachers. Matheson was born in Glasgow, but preached to thousands in his church in Edinburgh. But in the midst of his success, he was given the news that he was going blind. At that time, Edinburgh was one of the leading areas for the study of medicine, and yet the doctors of Edinburgh could do nothing to stop his encroaching blindness. Matheson was engaged to a lovely young woman, and they were about to be married when he got the news. So Matheson told his fiancée the news. He told her he loved her very much and asked her if she could marry someone who was going blind. She said that despite her strong feelings for him, she could not live with a blind man, and the marriage was called off. So George Matheson, great preacher, Bible student, one who explained the will and mercy of God to others, one whom thousands of people came to hear, was driven to isolation and grief. He was reeling from all the unfairness in his life. And as he did so, he was very much like the psalmist at the beginning of Psalm 73. He was focusing on himself, of course, we would do the same, and his circumstances in relation to others. He was overcome with envy for what others had and he did not. The day of his sister's wedding on June 6, 1882, he must have been thinking of the wedding that should have been his and was called off. The house was bursting with happy people, with joy and laughter. But despite his best intentions, it was all ashes in his mouth. So George Matheson quietly went upstairs, bereft, and prayed to God. In 5 minutes, he grabbed a pen and wrote down these words, "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe." Words we will sing in just a few minutes. His entire perspective changed as he realized that God was holding on to him. It was God, not him, that was the source of his incredible preaching ability. And God would still be there and be that source and strength, whether he could see it or not. Matheson remained single all of his life, but he experienced a love that would not let him go. When you are crushed by reversal in your life. When you get a diagnosis that terrifies you, when someone you love lets you down or abandons you, when you stand by the graveside of someone you love and wonder how you can let them go, remember, there is a love that will not let you go. Some of you may remember from personal experience or historical footage, July 4th, 1939. On that day, Lou Gehrig, who knew he was dying, was honored by New York as they gathered in the stadium. Gehrig was weak, but he delivered one of the most powerful speeches of all time. He said that he was the luckiest man on earth. And then he listed the reasons why he was the luckiest of men. He cited the strong, staunch support of his wife, the blessings of his teammates and manager, his sacrificial parents who did so much to get him where he was, his terrific in-laws. Many people still identify with his last line. I might have been given a bad break, but I still have an awful lot to live for. Maybe it's because he did not focus on the unfairness of life, but on the blessings, on the sure knowledge that God was going to hold on to him always, that he was able to feel these things. You know, and God is going to hold on to you. That's the good news. When life gets hard, when life is unfair, and you can't hold on to God anymore, God in Christ holds on to you. So when you are at the end of your tether, when life seems unfair, focus on God. Spend time with God in prayer, even if it's at a loud volume or whiny. But don't forget to be still before God and listen. You will discover a God who does not always answer prayers the way you and I would like. But you will find a God who will hold on to you and be with you and will never, ever let you go. Amen.